Well, hello. We are winding down, right? That's how I felt at times throughout this week, kind of like just, you know, throughout the day. And then there were other times where it was like, man, where's that burst of energy coming from? But, you know, that's to be expected. If you've gone through these fasts enough times, you know what to expect, right? And some things just don't come. It's a good thing when certain things that you experienced before just aren't experienced. It's just the Lord sustaining you through those days and those times, and it's wonderful, isn't it? It's been great. It's been so good to fast with you and to pray together. And you know, tonight is the last devotion. Tomorrow, we're going to be praying for each other and then breaking the fast. And so this evening we are looking at El Roi. El Roi. So turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And it's a story of Sarai and Hagar and Abram. I want to start from verse 1. We're going to go straight through. So let's read. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai." So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant. You shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well was called Be'er Lahairoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Father, we desire to know you intimately. Lord, to know your attributes, your character. Not only that we may know you and consistently understand the manner in which you do things, Lord, but also, Father, that we would reflect the very same character. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless our time in your word together here. And Lord, that you, Lord, would give understanding and help us apply what we learned this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we've gone through this week, you know, we've come to know that knowing God's word and knowing his personal names is one of the greatest privileges that we can have as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Because it says that all scripture is breathed out by God in 2 Timothy 3:16. And because of that, we know that God has revealed himself and introduced himself to us through these personal names. And as we've given ourselves to praying corporately every day of this week, what knowing his names gives us is a better understanding of our Lord's attributes, his character, his nature. And what that does is it should enrich our prayers. We are able to approach him with greater wisdom and are able to address him appropriately as we pray. Jehovah Jireh. We know that the Lord is provider. Nick went over that name. Adonai. We know that God is our Lord. He's our master. He's the one that purchased us with the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. And Dominic went over Adonai. Yahweh, the promised name of God, so sacred that we know it as a tetragrammaton, which is just four consonants, YHWH. In fact, it is well known that we don't even have the vowels in between. And yet, that's what who we know him as. He's the Most High also as El Elyon. We went over that just yesterday. Jake went over the Lord Most High, El Elyon. And tonight, well, we have El Roi, God of seeing, or God who sees me. We read through Genesis 16, the entire chapter, and this gives us an understanding of who it is that addressed God with this name, Hagar. This woman was Sarai's maidservant. She was an Egyptian woman. And it was Sarai's idea to give her maidservant to her husband Abram, for Hagar to be a surrogate to bear Sarai a child, since God had promised Abram a son. She was thinking, we're too old. We're past the years of bearing children. And so Sarai gave Hagar to Abram, and Abram agreed. But as soon as she conceived, Hagar looked at Sarai, it says in what we read, with contempt, with disregard, with disdain, is what that is describing. And Sarai put this turn of events on Abram, as we also read, as we saw, let the Lord judge between you and me, is what Sarai was telling Abram. But Abram turned and told her that she could do with Hagar whatever she pleased, whatever she desired. And so Sarai did. She turned and she confronted Hagar, and she dealt with her harshly. And with that, Hagar couldn't take that. And so she fled from her maidservant, or from Sarai, I'm sorry. Her maidservant had ran away and fled from Sarai. But the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. She was going away from Sarai. So the angel of the Lord came to her, told her to return to Sarai and to submit to her, because he told her that he would multiply her offspring so much so that they wouldn't be able to be counted. And the angel of the Lord also told her that she was presently pregnant, and she was to call her son, she was to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. The Lord has listened to your affliction, is what the Lord spoke to Hagar. In verse 13, in fact, it says, "So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are a God of seeing.' For she said, 'Truly here I have seen him who looks after me.'" Hagar, we know, had taken, and these were drastic measures that she took. These were desperate measures that she took in order to escape the harsh treatment that she was experiencing under Sarai. She had fled, but she was found. She was stopped by the angel of the Lord and told to go back and submit to Sarai. She was telling her, and he was telling her, that, again, Ishmael would be her son, and she would have so many children that that from him would come many, many, many people that would not be able to be numbered. You see, God heard her and was acting on her behalf. She responded with, "You are a God of seeing. You are a God who sees me personally." El Roi. She was simply acknowledging an attribute of God. And when God ministers to us, that's what we should do. We should acknowledge that attribute of God, his character, who he is. God isn't who he is because we make him who he is. He is who he is. We simply acknowledge who he is. And then we submit, we surrender to that, to him, in that sense. God is a God of seeing. When no one else sees, he does. In fact, in John chapter 1 is the story of Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. In verse 43, he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You know, you will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The God who sees. When no one else sees, God does. Remember the lepers that no one else would pay any attention to? Jesus did. And he healed them. Remember the blind men that no one else would pay attention to? No one else saw them, but Jesus did. And he healed them. Remember those who were possessed by demons? No one wanted to be around them, but Jesus cast out the demons. You see, what we need to understand is that God sees all. He sees you where you're at all times. You are never alone. Even when you feel you are alone, you're not. Do you know? This is where you receive this, right? Do you know that God sees you wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you're thinking? God sees you no matter what you've done and where you've gone. He listens and looks upon you. He looks upon you with great love. And so, in response, we ought to acknowledge him, to turn to him. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." In Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. What is it that he cannot see? Where can we go that he is not? Listen, this name, El Roi, specifically, is only mentioned once in Genesis 16:13. And yet we see it all throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. We see. For God is omniscient, right? We know that our God sees all. He sees us. He listens. He watches. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So he is with us. When no one else sees, and when you feel most alone, he sees you. And he is with you. And he loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who sees all, the God who is with us, who knows all, and desires, Lord, that as we are loyal to you, that you desire to show yourself faithful on our behalf. That's truly beyond my imagination, Father, but it is true. So, Father, have mercy on us. Lord, help us in those moments as we acknowledge your attributes, your character, your works, Lord, that in those moments, Lord, we would acknowledge and we would turn to you and receive you once again in that sense. And so, Father, we commit this evening into your hands and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.